Tonight, we are going to start a series called the I Am series. We got 5 weeks left, and I figured it would be good for us to get a little Jesus in. And I know we did. We had a lot of fun going through the series on Inside Out in the church. But tonight starts our series of just really who Jesus said he was. And it's pretty humbling to see when Jesus begins to describe himself, how all-encompassing he is. And through the book of John, there are seven times where Jesus, actually eight times if you want to count John 8, where he actually says these words, I am something. And in John 8, he just says, I am. But this I am concept is, it's a deep one. It's one that's really hard, I think, for us at first glance to grasp, to understand. And to understand that Christ is fuller, deeper, richer than anything we can probably even imagine. And so our first I am statement in the book of John is, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And in order for us to really fully grasp this, I think we're going to have to be prepared. We're going to have to be prepared to identify that you've probably got an itch that you've never scratched. For a lot of us, we have a hunger in our soul that you've never even maybe awakened. I love that first song that we sang tonight about awakening something within us, that we would be awakened. My prayer is that we would be awakened tonight, that your soul would be hungry for the bread of life. There's this verse in Psalms that says this. It says, as the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for my God. You guys familiar with that one? There's this really slow and beautiful song that goes with this. It kind of proves my point that we really don't really understand what it means to hunger and to thirst for God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to have a hunger and a thirst that our soul would long for this. We look at this verse and we say, boring. We say, as the deer pants. You guys know that old song, right? As the deer, and we start kind of getting the I don't even know what instrument would go with that song, but it's just like I picture violins and I picture this really being the slow melodic song. As the deer pants for water, so my soul pants for my God. Not really understanding what it would be like to have it to be a deer, like this wild animal that's like out of breath, needing water. Like this is not something that you crochet and or cross stitch and put up on your wall next to the Holly Hobby or to the whatever collection you might have. This is talking about our soul longing for something. I was awakened to this idea, this concept. I never knew this before, but until I adopted. When you adopt, you end up hearing all these adoption stories. And I heard stories of people that would bring these babies back from Africa that would not cry. And at first you're thinking, wow, lucky. But the reason they didn't cry is because after a while they had learned that it's a learned behavior, that they had a yearning within them to be satisfied, to cry until someone would come and meet their needs. And they learned over time, these babies were trained, that crying does not bring help. And to see what kind of joy it brings a parent to have these babies cry for the first time, because it's almost like their pump was primed and their soul began to yearn for the thing that you know wasn't primed before. And my thought is tonight, my gut tells me that a lot of you have not had your soul primed for the Lord. That you have had distractions in your life that you have called your soul, but it's not been your soul. You've had distractions in your life that have been buffers and have kept your soul from really receiving what it really needs, the great I am. And so tonight I want to demonstrate that Jesus was all about being the bread of life. He was very clear. He was very simple. This table will represent Jesus tonight. This small, simple table represents who he was all about. Right back from the very beginning, you guys remember the story of God's people being rescued out of Israel? And as they're being rescued out of Israel, they went into the desert. And the people are complaining because they're not going to be able to be fed. And God ends up every morning providing them miraculously for 1 million people. He ends up miraculously providing manna for them in the morning. And their hunger pains, the hunger that they received, the real, true, physical hunger that was in their bellies was satisfied by the Lord. And what did they do after their bellies were full? They grumbled some more. We had this yesterday. Manna, it's the same thing. Can't we get grape flavor or something? This is all they're just complaining about the repetition. When the fact is this, God was not trying to prove, catch this, he was not trying to prove that he could provide food for them. He was providing for them. It was him. It was the sustainer. I want my people to know it's me, not the provider, it's not the manna, it's me giving the manna. He's a good dad, and he wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to love him. So there's that whole manna thing. There's that whole that goes right back from the very beginning, where God is trying to communicate a very simple message that he is the bread of life. He's the sustainer. He wants people to yearn for him. There are other times throughout Scripture, right after that, where God establishes these feasts, and we went into great detail on those feasts. The first couple feasts are feasts that talk about the Passover and unleavened bread that really focus really very directly to Jesus being the Jesus himself being the bread and being the cup. We don't have time to go into great detail with that, but for many of you, you've never heard this, and I feel like it's so void from our teaching. It's so void from the Christian church, but it's also a mystery to even the Jews. This idea that within one of the meals of the Passover, there are three layers of unleavened bread. The middle one, now three meaning representing a Father, a Son, and a Holy Spirit, very possibly. And the only one that's seen is the only one that never has been seen, and that be the Son. And that's the only piece of bread that's actually seen. And you pull that out, and it looks very much like the representation of Jesus, because it has stripes. By his stripes we are healed. And he has these piercings within it, these holes that might represent the piercings that he went through. It doesn't have any yeast like this loaf of bread here does. It's more like a cracker, because yeast represents sin. This was a very sinless piece of bread, this middle piece, this Jesus, and it was broken. And in the middle of this Passover meal, they would break this bread, and they would wrap it, much like Jesus was wrapped, and they would bury it. And then the next day, they would come, or at the end of the meal, they would pull it out. They would break a little piece off. Everybody would partake of this little piece. Does that sound familiar? They would pass it around to everybody, and everybody would partake of this broken middle piece that had stripes and piercings, that had no yeast. And everyone would take it. And they would take it not just by itself, they would take it with what was called the redemption cup. And here's a representation of that cup. The redemption cup, they would drink, and then they would eat this, called the iphikomen. Jesus is making it very clear. He's making it, God is making it very clear. This is the bread of life. My son is the bread of life. The last feast, the last one out of seven, was this Feast of Tabernacles, where these people every day would take a little bit of water from this pool, and they would walk up this mountain, up to the top of the temple in Jerusalem, and they would pour out this offering to the Lord, and they would yell out that they were thirsty for the Lord. They would yell out that they were longing for the Lord. And Jesus, on the very last day, when the people were in a frenzy and they were dumping out this water and they were yelling out, "Lord Jesus, come," or "Lord, Lord, send a Messiah," Jesus pops up at the risk of his own life. And he yells out in a loud voice to everybody, "If you're thirsty, come to me for a drink." Can you see how he's consistent throughout the Bible, throughout the Word? He is consistently saying the same thing. And then one day, as he's walking around, he has this premeditated plan where he understands that he needs to communicate on an even bigger level that he is the bread of life. And there's 5,000 people. 5,000 people next to the lake. And he sees how there's like this natural amphitheater into the side of this mountain. I've seen it with my own eyes. And he sits 5,000 people down. He preaches to them for a while. And then he asks one of the disciples, "Hey, what's for lunch?" They don't know. And he's like, "I know you don't know, but I know." And he takes this little boy's lunch and he feeds 5,000 people. And afterwards, there's 12 basket loads of leftover bread. So much so that he's communicating a message here. I can provide more than you can even consume. I am the giver of all. I am the bread of life. And there's so much left over that there's 12 basket loads. I like what Ben says, one for each of the disciples to pick up and to carry back as a reminder, a personal reminder. God is more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. Very consistent with the first message of the manna, where he is just consistent. He is always providing. This is the message God is trying to convey to you. And he's doing it for this cup right here in the center. He wants you to know something. He's not beating around the bush. It's not some big metaphor that you got to try to figure out. You don't have to go through 9 different study Bibles to try to figure out what he's really getting after. He's crystal clear from every passage I can see. I'm here to fill your soul. Now, I know you've never cried these kind of tears. I know you've never had this kind of a yearning for some of you because you've been so full on these other things. But you have a yearning in your soul. There is a part of you that I made that needs to be filled by me. That is the backdrop of our story. And I want to read to you a little bit of the story. It was the next day after Jesus fed the 5,000. And these people come, they're like, "Man, that was the best trick yet because I got my belly full." And these people come around the lake because Jesus disappeared from them and he actually walked on the water a little bit that night and kind of freaked out his disciples and played a little trick on them, got Peter to walk a little bit and sunk and grabbed him, pulled him up, and then boom, they're on the other side of the lake. You guys know the story. He's over on the other side of the lake and all of a sudden these people are coming over and they're like, "How'd you get here? I saw the disciples left on their boat, but you weren't in it." And they run up and they begin to ask him a question. I wish I could read the whole thing. There's a ton of text here. It's in John 6. Go home and read it. It's awesome. John chapter 6, Jesus answered. He says, "I tell you the truth. You're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils. Listen, is Jesus being, is he being difficult here? Is this riddles? Or is this being just as clear as the nose on your face? Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed a seal of approval. And then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Because anytime I've ever eaten before, anytime I've ever earned, you got to earn it. You got to do something for it. I got to be able to work for this. What must I do? And what does Jesus say? He says this. He says, the work of God is this: believe in the one he has sent. It's no work. It's just belief. Believe, that's what will fill this cup. He's talking about this, they're talking about this. He's talking about their soul, they're talking about their belly being full. And then as soon as he kind of makes it about belief, they switch it back, and they begin to question him a little bit. And so they asked him this question: what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? What miraculous sign? Are you serious? Just yesterday? Just yesterday I fed you and 5,000 of your closest friends from a Scooby-Doo lunchbox. What do you mean another sign? You need another sign? I wouldn't even know where to begin to answer that question. You haven't even let the first sign work through your system yet. A sign. We're talking about the same concept yesterday that I had of bread. I'm talking about the same topic. It's the next day. I haven't even changed topics yet. And you're asking me for a sign? You don't remember yesterday? This is what Jesus had to deal with. Jesus told him, I tell you the truth. He didn't go off like I just went off, okay? He said, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven. Oh, see this? Oh, let me finish this. What will you do? That was their question. Then they said this: for our forefathers ate manna. See, they remember this desert story. In the desert, it is written, he, Moses, gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they're saying Moses had a sign from God and he provided the manna. And Jesus is like, dudes, you're getting the story wrong. It really wasn't about what Moses provided. It was about what God provided. So that's his response. He said, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and is given to his life for the world. And then they said, from now on, give us this bread. And you think they get it, but they don't really get it because they're thinking this. And then Jesus declared, this is where he says it. Guys, let me be clear. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And at that, they all understood and they went home happy. Not. This is what they did. It says this, and as this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Isn't it interesting how John uses the same word, grumble, that was used way back when they were in the desert? He's making a very distinct point here that people, when they are consumed with this kind of food, are always going to grumble. They're always going to complain. They're always going to be dissatisfied. And then Jesus again says, again, I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But Here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And at that, they begin to complain and argue and like, what do you mean flesh? And he goes in to describe probably the most controversial sermon he ever preached was the vampire sermon. Remember, you got to eat you got to drink my blood and eat my body. You guys remember that? But he's talking about communion. He was talking about this whole thing that he established on the very night before he died was the Last Supper, where they had that Passover meal. And it says very clearly that Jesus broke the bread at the end of the meal. He passed it out to them, and he said, this thing that you guys have been doing for forever and ever and ever, this whole Passover meal, it's always been about me. So do this now in remembrance of me. Can we see how this really is? Jesus is all about feeding us the thing that will satisfy our soul. And it was a hard teaching because they couldn't get past the whole food thing. Like, we really got to eat your elbow and we got to, Yeah. And we're no different. And here's really what I want to focus in on, this side of it. That's the Jesus side, that's the biblical side, that's the truth, okay? And you and I both know this is the truth. And you may have learned something tonight in this whole Passover meal. You may have learned something tonight about how Jesus is consistent with God's message. Jesus' message have always been the same, that he is the bread of life. Maybe that's just one of those things that you've been like, yeah, good, I'll learn that, I'll remember that, I won't forget that. But here's the thing. This is what's going to make tonight so hard. Just like 2,000 years ago, we have buffers and barriers to get this into our soul. And so I want to talk about you tonight. I want to talk about your table. I want to talk about your life. I want to talk about your distractions. I want to talk about what you're filling up inside of your life that is keeping you from getting this filled up. I want to talk about food. Do you guys realize how spoiled we are? You guys, it's unbelievable. I've been to some third world countries, and so have a lot of you. When they say they're having chicken this week, it's like, all right, Monday night we're going to have some wing. Tuesday night we're going to have some claw. Wednesday night we might have, you know, some of the parts that we're used to eating here in the States. But this is the way life is. You go to the Philippines and you order a fish, it's going to look at you on your plate, okay? It's got an eyeball looking up at you, and you're like, ah, how do I eat this? And here, everything's cut into cubes, and we don't have to deal with bones, and we're just like, I don't like fish. Right? If you guys like, I know some of you have walked in, you guys eat like kings if you live on campus here and you go to try, oh my gosh. You walk through and it's like, what kind of pizza today? And everything's like in like these edible arrangements. You know, it's like, I just can't eat my cantaloupe unless it's the shape of something. And it's got to be cut out of the heart, you know. I just can't eat it unless it's just out of the heart of the melon. It's got to be the heart. And we'll leave some of it on our plate and some of this over here. And I can't have pineapple pizza unless it's Dole pineapple. I mean, it's the only pineapple I'll eat on a pizza. What kind of pop? Well, it's Pepsi. Well, what kind of Pepsi? Well, I don't know. What gas station did it come from? Oh, it's so different. Oh my gosh. You guys realize we have 3 restaurants here in town that all have different names and everyone swears by one or the other and they're all the exact same thing. It's a burrito and you go to the line and it's like, would you like some rice with that? Yeah. You want black beans or pinto beans? Black beans. What do we want here? We want chicken or steak? Steak. Same thing all the way down the line. At the end, oh, I hate Qdoba. Chipotle. Do you realize how ridiculous it's become? You realize what level we've gotten to? It's unbelievable. We are filled with food. So much food. It just keeps coming and coming. We get up early and we eat. We eat late at night. We eat snacks. We go to Denny's. We're going to have Thanksgiving dinner. It just keeps coming and coming. Entertainment. Oh, I got this longing to watch a movie. Haven't watched a movie in, oh gosh, it's been 6 hours. What movie are we going to watch tonight? My kid's coming to me. What movie are we going to watch tonight, Dad? I don't know. Let's just get something on Netflix. Or just, Dad, we've seen all of those. You've not seen all of those. Dad, we've seen every PG movie known to man. No, you couldn't possibly have seen every single movie. I start looking through the list. Yeah, good job. You guys watched every single movie known to man. That's awesome. We're just filled with entertainment. It just keeps coming. We've got TV and we've got YouTube videos. And what used to be like this really cool thing, you know, you gotta stay up late to the 11 o'clock news my mom and dad watch. There's this video. It's just really cool. You know, some kid sits on a balloon. And now it's just like video after video after video. Entertainment after entertainment. What game? This game, that game. I got into a poker thing on the online Facebook free poker thing. I was playing that. I was like, this is really cool. My kids were like, yeah, I did that, done this, do that. I mean, you guys, so many games. You're bored with so many games. You got so many games, you've done them all. Entertainment, 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 entertainment. We're filled with entertainment. Relationships. Do you know? You know how hard it used to be in a relationship? How hard it used to be to fill up that friendship or that special other person kind of thing? We have these built-in longings. God's put sexual drives in us. This longing to be with somebody of the opposite sex, to be with somebody, to belong. And now we've manipulated that too, haven't we? We can coerce situations. Pornography is just, it's an easy substitute. It's an easy substitute. It's like we can be satisfied any time we want. We've got YouTube, but we've also got Facebook, and I can get 10,000 friends, and like they can all hear my stories, and I'm connected to the whole world. Relationally, I'm just filled with opportunities. Stuff. My goodness. Do you know our kids? My goodness. My kids get tired on Christmas morning. Do we have to open any more? Kids falling asleep because they've got so much stuff. It's funny, like four or five hours on Christmas morning. People have got basements now for the sole purpose to keep track of plastic crap that their kids have accumulated over the years. It's just plastic. It's just more plastic stuff, games, toys. We're filled to the rim with stuff. Clothes, racks and racks of clothes and shoes and cars and just that's just so much stuff. We're overflowing really in just about all of these things. And I look at this and it's no wonder that we have been so filled with these have become barriers to what you need. They're barriers to what your soul longs for. Many of you are like that non-crying baby that needs their soul primed with the Lord. I am asking that you would be open to that tonight. I am asking that you'd be the kind of person that is open to what Jesus initially intended for you to have. And that is that your soul would be full. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. And my hope and my goal and my prayer is this. Is that tonight we would begin to at least maybe even prime this pump. And Jesus knew all these distractions were coming. It's just worse than it's ever been. Oh yeah, I was going to read something. I just got to thinking of this like a couple hours ago. Today we've got more food available to us than any other country ever has and any other culture ever has. We have more entertainment at our fingertips than any group of people that have ever lived. We have more relational touches and opportunity to text or to call or to Facebook anyone and anywhere around the world than we've ever had in our entire life. I used to be on the mission field where I would wait over 3 weeks to get a letter written from somebody. Those days are gone. We are relationally filled. We've never had this kind of connection than we've ever had than we do right now. We've never had as much stuff as we do right now. We've never had so much knowledge at our fingertips. My son is like a walking encyclopedia. He knows stuff. He understands stuff. He gets stuff. He's quick. And there was a day when that was like so valuable. And now everybody just got on their phone. Everybody's got knowledge. Everybody's got information. This is a unique time. Jesus always had to deal with us to some degree, and with those people way back when, he had to deal with us to some degree, but you know what? Today, I think you are more hungry than more starved than any culture ever has been. And even though we've got the most food and the most entertainment and the most relationships and the most stuff, never before, ever before, have we ever been so picky, so bored, so alone, and so greedy. Ever. We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more. And it's because we want more. This is what you need filled. This is the cup that you need filled tonight. And some of you have never even come close to this. Some of you, this is a foreign concept to you tonight. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You know it's real, you understand it, but you've never even had a drop of the Lord enter your soul. So how do we get that to that? This is what we're going to do tonight. For some of you, we're going to practice what Jesus asked us to practice the night before he died. He said, I want you to take, I want you to eat, and I want you to drink, and I want you to do it in remembrance of me. We're going to do communion tonight. And for some of you that have understood that this is something that's been primed in you before, over here to my left and to your right is some communion emblems, and we ask for you just to go and to take that on your own. Some of you aren't ready for that. Some of you are like, that's just going to be like going through some motions that don't mean anything to me. And some of you know that tonight is a night, this isn't a night where I'm trying to make you feel guilty about these other cups. That's not my goal tonight. My goal isn't, yeah, you got to get off that Facebook. It's not my goal. My goal is to prime this pump, that your soul would yearn for the Lord. And for the rest of you, we're going to have a time of prayer. And we wanted to email you ahead of time, and it's my fault I didn't do that. But I was told last time that when we prayed up front, it may have been a little loud, and it wasn't as easy to pray. And so we're going to experiment tonight. And if you want prayer tonight, if you want to go to somebody and say, you know what, I want my soul filled with the Lord. This might be the very thing you ask. I want to be hungry. I don't know what it feels like to be hungry in my soul. I want to be hungry. That might be your prayer request tonight. Some of you, the prayer might be, I'm really, really overloaded in some of these areas, and I'm trying to fill my soul with the wrong stuff. And you need to talk to somebody, you need to pray about that. And so this side of the room is going to be for prayer. And I would encourage you to just kind of even go up along the sides here, right up along the side. There's a lot of room on the side. We would just make this side of the room prayer, this side of the room communion. And that there would be kind of this messy thing that kind of starts happening, and we're going to worship here at the end, and we're going to have some songs. And I'm just praying as we sing, that as we sing and as we commune and as we pray with each other, that God would find his way to your soul, and that everything that he's ever promised to be the bread of life, to be the source for you, would fill your soul. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for being the great I am. The I am that says, I am the bread of life. That you want to fill up something that we might not even know needs to be filled. You've made our souls. You made us to be eternal beings. And we are asking, Father, tonight that we would be in touch with what you know we need. That we would be open to that. We'd be receptive to that. That we would let some of those distractions that were at the beginning still be outside, and that we'd be able to do business with you on your terms, on your holy ground, here tonight in this very place. We ask you to move, to do your thing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.